All right, you got Dave from WVQC live with Lee from Pop Evil. Lee, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Ram, for taking the time to spread the Pop Evil word for us. We appreciate it.
Right on. So, man, 2012, you guys kicked this off in 2008. Yeah. Have you even got off tour yet?
We have not. We have not. It just keeps getting bigger, too, so getting time to go home is less and less. But it's been great. It's been an amazing album cycle, and we're excited for this new album. We start January 1st, so we're excited.
Right on. Back in, I think it was 2010, you guys were at Rock on the Range. Yeah. Yeah, pretty big deal going on, but yeah. You kind of blew everybody's mind. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, you know, we were going through a tough time with our old label, and, you know, we were excited. We moved to Chicago for 6 months and did this new album, which was War of Angels, and we're so excited about it. And, you know, it kept getting delayed, and, you know, through the powers that be that we had no control over, you know, we kind of... The frustration was not only seen by our fans, it was seen by us, and you know, we wanted to make a statement that day to let the fans know that we're still in control of our own destiny, and you know, let them know that we care about them, and you know, we're fans too, and decided to rip up that contract and just throw down, just kind of let whatever the live element is of our show kind of take on its own, you know, kind of life of, I guess, take on a life of its own. You know, we just kind of let all the energy out, whether we're having a rough week in that particular week we were, and just let it all, leave it out on stage, you know. So that's kind of the Pop Evil way.
Yeah, man, well, it certainly resonated with the crowd. I was actually up there that day, yeah, doing some other stuff, and
phenomenal crowd.
Yeah, everybody was like just crazy. That's a great show.
Yeah,
you guys done a lot of that kind of stuff though. There's yeah, some stuff down in the Midwest. You guys are just, I mean, every seems like every, whether it's a city tour or
sure,
a multi-city tour, whether it's something like a Rock on the Range where it's one city multiple days, yeah, you guys just show up on every card, man.
Well, we're like a people's band, you know. It's that Michigan Midwest mentality, you know. We really believe in almost going door to door and selling the cookies to them, you know. It's like we go door to door and one show at a time and keep playing the music and just, you know, just proving to people that, you know, we're not only great musicians, but we're live performers. And that's, at the end of the day, what we believe rock and roll was to us, you know, in the land of Bob Seger and Kid Rock and Kiss. You know, it was always like, and Nugent, you know, it was always like those weren't only just great musicians, they were just great performers. You know, you went to see a Michigan artist perform and you just left going, you left inspired, being like, wow, the rock and roll is where I want to be, you know. And rock and roll is kind of like that, it's kind of like that fuel to help people rise up in this struggling economy, or when it seems like you can't, you get up in the morning because you're just depressed about maybe things that are going on in your life, but the music's always been there to stay true. And you know, we take great pride in that. Try to, you know, honor our fans, to give them, you know, a message. And you know, I'm not trying to be super metaphoric on these lyrics. We write lyrics for the masses, and we want it to be as less confusing as possible. People are busy in this social era that is Twitter and Facebook. People don't have time for anything anymore, let alone music. So when they do get a chance to listen to Pop Evil, we want to get them to, oh my gosh, that's exactly how I feel. You know, and something that we try to pride ourselves in, to try to write the music that connects, and you know, here we are.
You guys, so you're out of Michigan, you've mentioned that, and some people may not know that yet, but you guys don't just come out on tour and go back home and hang out. I read an article, I think, so yeah, I wrote in 2010, yeah, about you guys, where you kind of, a lot of you guys are giving up some family contact and some structure to just kind of,
yeah, I mean,
build this thing.
Yeah, I think last year, 2012 alone, I think we saw our families. I personally saw them, I think, 2 weeks out of the whole year. So it's a big sacrifice. But, you know, it's one of those things. Anybody can talk it and say they want it, but if you really want to break this day and age, you have to live it, you have to do it. Because there's always a band coming up trying to take your spot, and it's competitive and it's tough. So, you know, at the end of the day, there's no MTV that's going to break bands like it once was, and no radio station's going to break it like it once was. It's a different time. There's so many more things at people's disposal. They can check their phones, they can watch TV and go to, you know, the music channels that just play music, or they can go to a rock channel. You know, there's so many more options for fans. So, you know, if you really want to stay relevant, you got to win them over live, and, you know, live shows. And the more you keep touring, the more that, you know, finally you can get your name out and break your band yourself. Again, just being a Pop Evil, we never really focused on the things we can't control. You know, we try to focus on the things that we can, and, you know, try not to worry about those other things. You know, at the end of the day, we may make music, and we're blessed to make it for a living, and we continue to write great songs, then we'll stand the test of time. If not, then, you know, we won't. But at the end of the day, we got to write great music, and that's something where we try to focus our attention on, and We believe that we have the biggest record yet to come in 2013. We think it destroys the previous two, so we're really excited to kind of dive in there and kind of, you know, kind of welcome the next chapter for Pop Evil, so we can't wait for that.
You've not only written most of your songs, you've actually gone outside and collaborated with some pretty well-known folks from other bands. Is that something that that you enjoy doing, or is it just kind of a one-time thing that happened?
No, I do. You know, we obviously write all our own stuff, but, you know, I think it's important as musicians to just not pigeonhole ourselves. Obviously, as you can see, we live on a tour bus with, you know, these walls are very small, so it's like, if you don't get outside these walls, or if you don't get outside your own comfort zones, you never are really growing as a musician. And at the end of the day, that's where being a musician is the true challenge. You know, not only do you write songs for other people and other people to listen to, you know, there is a personal element to it, to kind of do for you and challenging yourself. And, you know, getting out and having an opportunity to work with Mick, and you know, hopefully as we get a little further in this next record, we'll see who we're going to collab with as well. You know, it just keeps it fresh, and it keeps new ideas. And obviously, you know, when you deal with other great minds that are musical, it kind of, oh, wow, so those are the chords you're playing. Well, I'm playing these chords right now. And, you know, just kind of, it kind of lets you be open-minded to different people's perspectives and musical visions. And it's led to a big song with us, with Mick, with Boss's Daughter. And if we wouldn't have been open to that, that song would have never been, you know, born. And it's one of our biggest popular songs live today. So, I mean, you know, it's, who knows what the future holds with more collaborations. But we're definitely open to it. And it's something that at the end of the day, it's music. And there's no right or wrong. So the more you get out there and learn from other people, the more you bring back to your own crew, you know, the more we bring to each other, and hopefully write even bigger and better songs in the near future.
Right on. As musicians and living a life almost four years straight on the road,
yeah,
you know, do you have enough time to still be fans of the industry yourself, or are you still stuck with worrying about creating music?
I think we're definitely stuck, kind of always. You want to always make new stuff. I think there's a certain pressure, but at the same time, there's not a pressure. You know, it's like, we know who we are, this record. You know, it's the first record, we were trying to get a record deal. Second record, we had a record deal. We were juggling, trying to get out of the record deal. You know, now it's like, for the first time in our career, we know who we are as full-time musicians. You know, the first two, we were still new to it. So now, you know, we're really are kind of a little more laid back, relaxed, but at the same time, we know the work that is required. If we're going to take it to the next level, you know, there's a lot of work and a lot of emotional draining that you know, sometimes the fans don't always see, but our families see, because it's stressful. You know, when you write songs for other people, you know, you there's a certain element of responsibility you have to, especially when we know our fans now. We know them a lot better than we ever have in our career. So they're not just fans to us. We see the faces. And, you know, you see people that are dealing with cancer or dealing with loss or dealing with, you know, promotion or happiness. And you really want to be responsible to give them lyrics and to give them music that can really help embrace those moments in life. You know, when you think about the best music that you liked in your past, you think of a time, maybe you're going through struggle, maybe you're going through, you know, happiness, but those songs were there, you know, with you along the way. And we realize that now, that it's not just a group of five guys. The music is a timeline, and, you know, it's a timeline of people's lives, you know, with both good and bad. And you know, bad responsibility wears hard on us emotionally, wears hard on me emotionally, to make sure that we stay not only true to ourselves, but true to the audience, and to say, hey, you know, this is a song that's going to help people at the end of the day. And even like a song like Boss's Daughter, since we're on it, to song that maybe give it more of a throwback link using Mick Mars, but let people say, hey, I remember when I first listened to rock and roll, there was a lot of 808, there was a lot of 4-to-the-floor drum-wise, and it was just grimy guitars, driving bass tone, and just fun lyrics. I could get away from the stress and just think about, man, that girl, hell on heels, all I wanted to do was just get with the boss's daughter. Whether something is intimate or something is just as specific as that, or something as broad as Monster You Made, at the end of the day, which is when you look in the mirror, are you happy with that reflection that's looking back at you, you know? And it's just about taking different, you know, life lessons and trying to intertwine them musically, and at the end of the day, help send a positive message. You know, with all the stuff that went down in Connecticut, it's so personal to me that, you know, but not only is Connecticut such a great state for rock and a great state that's helped lift Pop Evil to where we are, it's just to think that some of these people in these bad situations, you know, probably were listening to our music. So we feel a little more connected with these tragic occurrences that happen all over the world, you know, that it's finally again, that responsibility. This is finally something that you have to really look and face on, you know, head on, to be like, look, there's a job here. It's not just about fun. It's not just about being away from family and, you know, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. It's about making a difference. And that's what rock and roll was to me. I mean, rock and roll made a difference, saved me in my life, you know, and allowed me to be here. So hopefully if we continue to grow, and God willing, we'll be making a positive difference in people's lives. And if we are, then hopefully it continues. If it doesn't, then, you know, we shouldn't be here in the first place. So that's kind of where I look at it.
Well, last two questions. We won't keep you much longer.
Yeah, sure.
You've been talking a lot about responsibility and yeah, feeling some personal responsibility, and maybe as a band, some professional responsibility.
Right.
You know, we don't see a lot of Pop Evil names in the media as far as you guys getting out and tearing up, you know, trash in places. You're not going out and
right. Getting
DUIs and things like that. I mean, is that
right. Is
that something that you guys consciously talk about or work through, that that you have to carry a reputation?
Well, we're not perfect. You know, at the end of the day, it is rock and roll. I mean, we definitely have our moments, but if you really get to the core of our band, we're a very family-run band. We all grew up together. You know, we all, you know, it's not like labels pieced us all together, and, you know, we all still believe in that. Hey, if you're good enough, they will come to you, and that happened in our case with Pop Evil. It didn't happen overnight. But, you know, we still try to we are blessed to live the life we do, so we try to still, I guess, taste the fruits in a more respectful way. You know what I mean? We've had our DUIs, we've had our run-ins, we've had our, you know, sleepless nights. But, you know, as you get a little older and your band gets a little more mature at the format, you know, we try to, it's every day is the same for us. So, you know, your bodies get a little tired, you know, you're emotionally drained. You know, we did over 250 shows this year alone, so we're trying to shift gears now emotionally to say, okay, touring is done after tomorrow, and now we shift to the recording process to say, and we didn't have that luxury when we recorded last time. We were recording, and then we were touring on the weekends because we had to make money, you know, just to live. So really couldn't dive in musically like we wanted to, and it's, you know, God willing, we had such a massive record. Imagine if we would have had the time to really not tour, and we could have just really 100% given to the music and the album, and that's what we're really hoping to do this record, and I think it's going to show. I mean, already the demos and the music we've written for it are just leaps and bounds to where the band's ever been. So to see that growth, I think, is exciting for us, and it just reminds you really what's important. And people always say that it's music, but once you get in this game, everything we get now is free, and everything is this rock and roll lifestyle that everyone thinks it is. That's what it is for us. So once you get past that, you've been there, done that, you remind yourself why you really are there, and it's the music. But it's a growing process. I mean, I don't think that one moment clicks for everyone. We're all humans here, and we're all Michiganders, and all we want to do our whole life is to get out of Michigan, and now it seems like all we want to do is go back home for a minute. But you know, it's we're learning here, you know, and I think that was makes for the best music. You know, it's learning from mistakes and trying not to make the same ones again. Sometimes, you know, it's harder to do, especially if you like a little drink every now and here around the holiday season. But, you know, it's learning how to juggle that with making sure I take care of my voice, like I said here, making sure I'm, you know, when normally in the past I would have been out here and I would have been out, hair done all up, wet, been outside running around. Next thing you know, I got a cold tomorrow, and we're sold out tomorrow. I just don't think that's fair. Again, the responsibility to those people who are spending hard-earned money to see me sing the songs they love and have paid money to listen to, if I'm just being, you know, naive, or am I being a little selfish and trying to have a good time tonight? So learning to kind of juggle those and give everyone a fair shot to have my voice as healthy and strong as it should be, I think that they deserve that. And I wasn't thinking that a year or two ago, you know what I mean? I was thinking more for me. And not that I don't sound great when I'm freaking sick, but, you know, just kidding. But, you know, I just think I never understood during the holidays why most singers stay on their bus. And I get it, you know, they always tell me, and it's for whatever reason it is. There's no amplifier on my voice, so I you know, try to pamper it a little bit more than I did before. So in honor of those fans, to be a little responsible, to say, I know how I would feel. You know, I waited all week long, it's a Saturday night, and I go watch my favorite band, and the singer has a horrible voice. I'd be like, well, that sucked. You know what I mean? Like, I've been waiting months in some cases, people driving hours to see the band and hear me sing. And I think a little bit, even though it's boring for me to sit here all day and watch TV, I feel like I'm sick. When I'm not, I feel great. But, you know, again, it's that responsibility factor, that there's a new love and an appreciation, that if it wasn't for our fans, we wouldn't be here. So at the end of the day, it is a job, it is work, and it is something that you need to respect. And when you do, there's a time to play. Tonight, a little bit after the show, hopefully I'll get an hour or two to unwind and hang out with people and meet the fans. But you know, there's a time during the day you need to pace yourself and again respect and honor the people that love and sing your songs that you write. And I think that's a true honor. And again, it's something that it doesn't matter about the band, it matters about the person, you know. And I was just raised, you know, respecting my elders. My mom and dad raised me right, and I love my fam, and I know what they'd want me to do, and I know what the fans would want me to do. And even though they all want to party and drink with me, I'm sure that they'll respect, and now, hey, Lee sounded really good tonight. That's the biggest compliment I can get. So I take pride in that compliment and try to give them a good show and try to give them the energy that I can. But some days are better than others, you know. If the fans win and I fall to the victim of the shots, you know, I paid for it. So hopefully the fans don't win. I win every night, and therefore I sound good every night. So that's the plan. Doesn't always work, but it's been working lately, so I'm proud of that.
Well, this is our last question, but you mentioned just a minute ago about being from Michigan and whatnot. Right. So I'm going to change gears on you.
Yeah.
Ohio State undefeated. They had a problem. They got a new coach.
That's interesting.
They can't go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, at the end, but you know, next year everything is different. You know, where's Michigan staying now?
You get me going on that. I'll talk all night. It's like, first of all, you know, obviously being a Michigan fan, but I have a lot of fans in Ohio, the great state of Ohio, and in Columbus. And you know, it's funny. Obviously when they're playing the Wolverines, I'm a diehard, so obviously you get that. But I do have a lot of respect for great football, especially Big Ten football. And I don't think it's fair to the players. You know, I really don't. I mean, I think some of these kids, I'll talk all day about, I think they should be paid. And you know, someone gets a, or what's the new thing on Johnny Manziel? I just read this thing about, he was on front row at the Dallas Heat game or the Dallas Miami game, you know. And you know, people were like, did he pay for the tickets? Or how did I get, you know, these kids make these schools so many millions of dollars, and I don't think it's fair. And then you rob the kids that are good from a chance to be undefeated. And I don't think it's fair. Those kids are undefeated. They deserve a shot. You know, as much as I'm a Michigan fan, I respect what Trussell done for the program. I'm an Urban Meyer fan. It sucks. You know, I don't know how to say it. I talk all day about it. I think there should be a playoff. I don't think it's fair to teach kids, you lose once, your career's over. You know, it's not. What's the point of playing the season then? You lose, okay, well then should we wrap up the season? You know, I'm a big sports guy, and I like to see great football teams play against great football teams, and no excuses bound. And if we're Michigan and we're good enough, then we'll beat Ohio State. If Ohio State's good enough, then they'll beat Michigan with the necessary players there. And that's just how I feel about it. It's any kind of great rivalry means that there's two great teams involved, and I have a lot of respect for the Buckeyes. And I remember when we first did a show in Columbus, I first learned about the OHIO chant, which I never heard before, being from Michigan. Why would I know that? You know, and OHIO, and then it was Michigan sucks. And I was like, well, hell, we better not tell these people we're from Michigan, we're getting shot up in here. But it was cool, and a lot of great friends in Ohio, and you know, I got respect. And my other side of my family, I always grew up Notre Dame and Michigan State. So now Notre Dame kind of returning to glory. We'll see. They got a tough Alabama school. And then, of course, Michigan State. My brother graduated from Michigan State, so he was always a little bit upset. We wrote the song for the Wolverines. But, you know, like it's just like the horseshoe in Ohio. You know, like we grew up. It's not only about the Wolverines. It's about the Big House. It was about the lure that is college football that represents Michigan. It's a state thing. It's a pride thing, as I'm sure you guys have in Ohio, which you do. It's a funny story. First time we drove through, we were a cover band at the time. I think we were playing Peabody's in Cleveland. You know, I'll never forget. And no, we were doing originals at the time. We were playing an all-original show. First time to Cleveland, or really playing in Ohio. And I'll never forget it. We had the Michigan plates on it. We must have been driving truck and trailer through. This cute little grandma. I was driving at the time. I'm driving. I look over. This cute little grandma, all gray hair, just flies the bird at me. And I'm like, are you serious? I didn't have no Go Blue stickers on. It was just a Michigan plate. She's just like, and I'm like, this is serious. This is some serious stuff, man. So it was cool. And I'll never forget it. I always tell the story. It was pretty wild. So so it was cool. But I got mad love for the Big Ten. I got love for Ohio State. Just, you know, I pull for the Wolverines, of course, when we're playing. But I think it's a raw deal. I don't think they, I think an undefeated season, they should have a claim and a chance, and I don't agree with that. I think they had a great year, and no one was expecting to do that, as well as I thought Penn State had a great year for all that they went through, you know. Yeah. And like I said, I'm a fan of sports. I'm a fan of football. American football is my favorite of all time, so I love, obviously, as I'm wearing Northwestern gear, Michigan gear, I got a Notre Dame shirt on. I mean, it's just all my football, all my sports guys all want to be rock stars, so they give me everything free, clothes, and they all, we all want to be athletes, so we give them all the rock star stuff, so it's always like a trade. But I always think their football stuff is way warmer than rock star stuff. Rock star stuff, just tight pants, makeup, whatever they want, doesn't go over good in football helmets, so whatever. So that's my story.
Right on, man. Well, we will let you go. Appreciate you spending the time, man. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And again, pictures tonight. I've